Shavua Tov, everyone. We started about the Ashes Cohen who declares while she's married, Nenasti, which means that she became a Zona according to her declaration, Asura Labaila. And if you recall, there was Machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchas Yisurei Bia, Perek Yud Ches Halacha Tes. And in Shulchan Aruch, this is Siman Vav Seif Yud Gimel. So we want to further elaborate on the concept and the possibility of her giving an Amasla to be Matir her to marry a Kohen after her husband dies as an Almona. Is she believed to say that the reason why she claimed during her marriage that she had this onus is in order to get out of the marriage, in order to create an Israel Bailah? And that's going to be Machlokas, the Rambam, the Ravid. We started it last time. In Birtz Hashem, I'd also like to discuss with you Siman Vav Sif Ches. And that's in general the Psul of the Zona. In specifics, we want to get into the issue, which is a gigantic machlokas Rishon, about Chai Ve'Lavin. Okay, so let's stick now to the original issue that we want to discuss here, which is in Siman Vav Sif Yud Gimel. The Mechaber says, following in the Rambam, he says, Eishes Kohen Sha'omer Labaila Nenasti Afapishu Muteres Labaila. Because we pass like the Mishnah Achron at the end of Nedarim, that Chayshin and Shemenosnai now be Acher, so her claim, her declaration is not meaningful as far as her husband is concerned to engender an Iser of Tuma Lekohen, of Zona Lekohen, but nevertheless, Harehi Asura Lekohen, Kol Kohen Sheba Olam Acher Sheyomus Baila Sharei Hodis. Shehi zona sha'asra atzma v'naseis kechaticha d'isura. So the Mechaber, paskin like the Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia Perek Yud Ches, invokes the principle of shavya nafshe chaticha d'isura, unqualified, not allowing room for what? For namasla. And the Ravid on this Rambam is masig, and he says im omro liachar misas baila. Shkoyev, thank you. Lo amarti elikadeshi garsheni baili. The only reason I was motivated to make that statement is because I want to get it out of the marriage. So then, lova einin amenes. You know, the Ravid asks almost a naive question, almost a rhetorical question. Why shouldn't she believe? Because this is an amasla, and he gives the example of an isha. Why did I say I was an Eishes Ish? I was married. And she gave an Amasla Dvarei Nemenes. Apazu, so too in this case of an Eishes Kohen who says Nenasti, she's believed with an Amasla. Im Haisa Ktata Beineyem Amasla Gedolihizu Venemenes. The Magen Mishnah claims that according to the Rambam, this Amasla is not a healthy Amasla. It's an Amasla Grua. Why? What's deficient about this Amasla? Let's just go over this. We discussed it last week.
The Hertaina Nanasti is not enough to be Mechayev him. He didn't tell her to give her a get.
Right. In other words, her goal by saying Nanasti according to her Amasla is not achievable by her saying Nanasti. So she's saying she said it, she was motivated to achieve a goal, namely to get herself out of the marriage. She's not capable of achieving that goal within the framework of Halacha. That's not a good Amasla. What do we derive from the Magid Mishnah? What's the implication now? Had she given a good, convincing Amasla,
it would work,
it would be acceptable. That's the Magid Mishnah's approach. In which case, the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid seems to be boiled down to what I call a more balabatisha, logical machlokas, whether or not we are convinced, we're not convinced, it's a good Amasla, it's not such a convincing Amasla, and that's it. Comes along the base mayor with a whole new approach to the Rambam. The Rambam is not upset by a secondary or a second-rate Amasla. The Rambam holds that no Amasla would operate here. That her Shavya Nafshe is a different type of Shavya Nafshe. The way we interpreted the Beis Meir, it's a Shavya Nafshe of Ne'amonus. Something that could have implication and credibility even as far as others. It's not just her and her private, me, myself, and I, but rather it has an impact on the Baal because she has nemos. And here we invoke the principle of the Ran, that the Ran said a woman would be too embarrassed to make a claim that she had this onus situation unless it was actually true. Is mucha milsa diktata ka'amri, says the because is this solo mezalzalei nafshi, she wouldn't be mezalzal herself. If that be the case, says the base mayor, the Rama would accept absolutely no amasla. Amasla doesn't operate when the shavya nafshi is upgraded to the level of nemonis. It has objective credibility. There's evidence to support that amasla. But the question I want to raise with you today, which I don't think we addressed last time, is at this stage in the development of the sugya, based on the base mayor, let's turn the clock over to shoot the ball into the court of the Raavad. What is the Raavad going to say here? Admittedly, as we said before, according to Magid Mishnah, the Raavad is more in love with the Samasla. He likes the Samasla. But nevertheless, according to the base mayor, amasla is not acceptable. And we gave many examples of halachic shavya nafshe, where amasla doesn't operate. So what then lies at the heart of the shitas haravid, when the ravid says that the amasla is acceptable? And in order to understand this, I would like to call your attention to a different Rama. Let's open up to the Rambam in Isurei Bia, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud. The Rambam there gives us an insight into Amasla and how it operates. Ha'isha Shamra Labayla Tmeya Ani V'chazra V'yomra Tahora Ani V'derech Schok Amarti Lecha Tchila, what I said at the beginning was just a joke. In an MS. So once she declares and admits that she's Tmeya, she can't just say she was joking around. However, says the Rambam, V'imnasna amasla dvarei nemenes. Ketzad. What constitutes an amasla? Says the Rambam, Tava baila. Her husband wants to have relations with her. V'achoso o imo imo b'chatzer. In the presence of a relative of his sister, his mother. V'omer lo tmeani. At this point we can't have relations. V'achek achozor v'omer tahorani. V'lo amarti l'cha tmeani el mibnei achoscho imecha shema yiru osanu. What a bush it would be if they would see us having a relationship. Harezu nemes. And the Rambam goes on to say, V'chein kol kayotze b'zeh. The Rambam says that this is a convincing and valid amasla. And on this Rambam, we have an expansion, an elucidation of the Machnefai. The Machna Fayim is quoted here in the Frankel edition of the Rambam in the Sefer Alikutu. He says, Nira Li. The Machna Fayim wants to explain why is it that as a general rule, if a woman is Becheskas Nida, she acted out almost publicly, demonstrating that she's a Nida. Does anybody know what I'm referring to?
Anyway.
Right, in front of her neighbors, she indicated that she's a Nida, and then she later on changes her mind. So the din is she's not believed. Isha shehuchzeka Nida b'shchein usel, we'll see this inside later on, baila lokel lel. And yet here, the Rambam says, in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud, with regard to a woman who said tmei ani, that she can be believed with an amasla. Says the Machna Frayim, Chiluk Tolui Bein Hecha Deika Hochacha La Masla. Now listen to the language of the Machna Frayim. He says, what's the halachic validity of a Hochacha to an Amasla? He says, "Ki hoch like this example should tovel lifnei achoso viraglayim lidavar shevetnei busha amrakein." Raglayim lidavar means we have objective evidence. It sounds like what the Rambam is telling us is that to the same extent, by the same token, as we say in Hebrew, "Bota midah," that we say that her original claim gets jacked up from Shavya Nafshe classic all the way up to Nemanus, so too we can counter that Nemanus with a Shavya, with an Amasla. How do we get an Amasla? How do we produce an Amasla which would have the power to offset, to undermine a Shavya Nafshe of Nemanus? Again, we're going to the Beis Meir. What was the Beis Meir's point? According to the Rambam, this Shavya Nafshe situation is unique because we have Hochacha that she's telling the truth. That when she said Ne'nasti, and therefore she's Asur L'Kohen, she would never have said that unless she was telling us the truth. So we have a Hochacha. What kind of an Amasla could undermine and completely offset a statement, a declaration of Shavya Nafshe when it has credence to it, when it has some sort of halchaka, the evidence that supports it? It's got to be an Amasla which has what? What's the key phrase in the Machna Friday?
Raglayim
L'Davar. So the Raglayim L'Davar of the Amasla now neutralizes, if you could call it the Raglayim L'Davar of her original Shavya Nafshe Chatika Bisu. It's kind of like one against one, or A against A. Not A against A. And he says the following, then, and she gives an Amasla, why she wore those begadim, and she gives a whole song and dance, leker raglayim l'davar. She has no raglayim l'davar to support her Amas. And therefore, it cannot undermine huchzaka nida b'shchenu sel. What I want to call your attention to are the last few words in the Machne Frayim. He says, Moshe, I'll be right with you. V'chein nireh midivrei haravid b'hasagos perek yuches din tes. That's our ravid. In other words, what the Machne Frayim is achieving for us, which I think is a great benefit, is he's creating an analogy between two different halachas. He's saying that the Ravid in Perek Yud Ches Miyisurei Bia is the same as the Amasla which the Rambam accepts in Perek Dalet Mihilchos Yisurei Bia. Let's go through the two cases. In Perek Yud Ches, the Ravid says that if there was a Ketata between them, in this case between a wife and her Kohen husband, and because of that Ketata we have reason to believe that she wants to get out of this marriage, therefore that lends credence to her claim, her declaration, that Nitmesi was only said, why did she say Nitmesi? Or Nivalti Bones, whatever it is, in order to what? To get out of the marriage. Because, says the Ravid, again, let's read the Ravid's language, why is this an Amasla Gedola, as he calls it? Says the Ravid, Im Haisa Ketata Beineyem. The fact that it's a ketata, we understand that this marriage is on the rocks. It's on its way out. Therefore, we believe her now when she gives an amasa and says, the only reason I said nitmesi, the only reason I said nivalti bones, is because I wanted to achieve a goal. I wanted to break up this marriage. There's objective evidence that indicates that she really wanted to get out of this marriage. What's that called in the language of the Machna Frayim? Raglayim L'Davar. And how do I know it? Because the Machna Frayim sends us back to the Rambam in the case of a woman who says Tmeani, and the only reason I said Tmeani is because it was absolutely humiliating. It's antithetical to Tzniyus to have this kind of relationship in the presence of one of your female relatives. We believe that because that Amas is supported by Raglayim L'Davar. Says the Machna Frayim, V'cheinu b'arayvim b'perek yudches halachaches. The Machna Frayim is giving away a great secret over here, that whether or not an Amasla can be upgraded to such a status that it can undermine and be believed against a declaration which had credence to it, which had credibility to it, depends upon whether the Amasla would be supported by what? By Raglayim Ludov. And therefore the Raivid has set up for us the following two categories. We have category number one, which is the case of Huchsaka Nida B'Shechem Yisera. In such a case, she's not believed with an Amasla. Her Amasla is not enough to break up that Huchsaka Nida. Whereas on the other side, we have the Rambam in Perek Dalet, who's talking about a case where she said Tnei, and then she explains why she said Tnei. She doesn't want to be humiliated. That's an Amasla with a Raglayim Ludov, such great support and evidence. And at the same token, the Raivid in Perek Yuches, in the case of a woman who says Nanasti, she says she's Kohen, and we believe her, and now she comes along because it's Ketot, and she says the only reason I said it is because I wanted to get out of this marriage. Yeah, motion.
No, that's okay.
All right, we'll go on.
Later, yeah.
Well, I want to quote to you the Rashba as we look at the Gemara in Ksuvus. I failed to bring a Gemara in Ksuvus here. The Gemara in Ksuvus, do we have a Gemara floating around? The Gemara is on Daf Chav Beis.
Can I clarify one thing?
Yeah, please.
The Tner and the Matan Ephraim are not together. They're the opposites.
I don't see that, Chaim. What I wanted to do was, I wanted to present to you the Beis Meir. Thank you so much. The Beis Meir brings us up until a certain point, and then he sort of drops us off a precipice and says, you figure out how to open your parachute.
No, because according
he says that according to the Rambam, there is no Amasla here. Well, what is the Raivid saying? He doesn't tell us. He doesn't give us an answer to that question. But I think the Machna Ephraim, not here but elsewhere, Perek Dalet, is offering us a little bit of an insight into what the Raivid is saying. Because what the Machna Ephraim does is he equates, he makes an analogy between the Raivid in Perek Yudches and the Rambam in Perek Dalet. That gives us the ability, just as we discussed last time, we can upgrade the Shavya Nafshe to a level of Nemonis. Now we're able to, on the other side of the scorecard, upgrade the Masla to a level of Nemonis. And the Amasla, once it has the Raglayim Ludovar, it can undermine a Shavya Nafshe that has Nemonis.
The claim that we made earlier that one of the problems with this Amasla, that was made it an Amasla Grua, is that it doesn't have the halachic power to achieve her stated goals. Are we getting around that? Is it that the Rav is not even concerned with that? Or are we getting around that by equating it with a case where her goals aren't necessarily halachic anyway?
What we're doing is we're simply redefining the Rav. We're not changing any of our major premises about, did she think she would accomplish her goal? Was she an Amoritz? Or did she know the halachas? Did she learn the... Yeah. Whatever we said then, we'll say now as well. But what we were able to do is we're able to put a certain clarity and a definition onto the Shita Sarai. And let's see if we can analyze how this plays itself out. The Gemara in Ksuvos says the following. This is a brisa. Wait a minute. Is this Gemara Ksuvos? Oh yeah. Okay. Good. This is the Gemara Ksuvos. No, I have. I thought this was Yevamos for a second. Torah Rabbanan. Ha'isha shomesh is ishani. V'chazra v'omra pnuyani. What is she missing here? And the Gemara is going to analyze. An Amasla. Doesn't she need an Amasla? What do you mean? You just finished telling me that you were Makabel Kiddush of Reuven. And now you're telling me, no, you're not married to Reuven. Why not? Vashavya nafshikati omarabah. Kigon shenos l'amasla d'oreha. This is the Shorash Ashrashim of Amasla. And now the Gemara is going to quote a second brisa to clarify what the nature of this Hamasla is. Can she come along and say, well, I was just in the mood? You know, I may was joking with you? No, she has to have a substantial Hamasla. What's the case? Maisa b'isha achas gdola, shaisa gdola b'noi, v'kofto lev b'nei odol l'katsha. Yeah, they were lined up here. There were suitors knocking on her door. And all the other girls would probably agree with envy. She's Gedola Benoi. You know, and everybody wants to marry the, you know, what do you call it, the Miss America, you know, straight out of the movies. What do they call it, the actresses and all this. So she's, you know, everyone's waiting online. Interesting how contemporary this is. You know, you still have guys who are hung up on this. That's all. It doesn't matter beans about the girl as long as she's, you know, they call it a 10. You know what I'm saying? That, but maybe they don't. That's out of mode in my day. That's what. They, I'm probably dating myself. All right.
Now it's an 11.
Oh, they have an 11. Huh? We never get. You should know. I was very stingy. I mean, but the highest I ever gave was an 8.5. Where others were giving out 10s like they were going out of style. But anyway, so she's Gedola Benoit. By the way, Gedola doesn't necessarily mean that she was, you know, 6'2. Gedola Benoit. The Kaftu Alev Bnei Adam Lakacha. The Amr Lahem. How could she shoo them away? Mekudeshes. Mekudesh Sani. I'm already married. Too late, guys. She received Kiddush from Shimon. I mean, you just told us you were married to Reuven. Why did you extend your hand to receive Kiddush from Shimon if you already, by your own admission, you're married to Reuven? These suitors were not worthy of having my hand in marriage. And this is the case that is a paradigm of an amasla. Now I want to read to you the Rashba. If you have the Mar Makoma sheet, I wrote out the Rashba here. Af bazu im nosta amasla verne menis de mashma de ikal aflugi beina leuvda di osa isha shahaisa gedola binoi. What is it about Isha Shahisa Gdol Binoi? Ikalame Mishum Dahi the Omracious Ishani Ikala Mismach Ahamasla. And please underline the next few words. The Dvarim Hanikarim Hem. What does it mean? Dvarim Hanikarim Hem. How would you reformulate this Rajba using the terminology of the Machna Frayim? Nikarim Hem. It's almost, you know, by in context, contextually, it's obvious that she did it for that reason. The Rashbi wants to explain that in the case of a woman says Tmeya, because she doesn't have, want to have relations in front of his relatives, it's not so simple that she would be believed with that Amasla. Because why couldn't she just come forward with the truth and say to her husband, this is absolutely humiliating to have relations in front of, you know, in the same house with your mother and your sister. We can't do such a thing. Kamash Malan, that even such an Amasla is accepted. So what we have something here in the Rashba that's very helpful, but on the other hand, he again leaves us a little bit suspended in midair. The wonderful part of this Rashba is to tell us that in the case, the classical case of Haisa Gedola Binai, Vekoftzaleh Anoshim Shedim Uganim, where she's believed with an Amasla, even though she said Eishasishanim, that Amasla gives us Dvarim Hanikarim Shem Emes. It's identical, I believe, with the definition and the description of the Machnefrei. Because once a woman says Eishes Ishani, that's a serious business. That creates a new status. We assume that she's married. And until she produces a get, we're not going to allow her to get married to someone else. But in this case, the Amasla is Dvarim Hanikarim Shem Emes. And therefore, it's believed against her original declaration. What about the case where she says Tmei, and then she says, well, I only said it because I was afraid to have relations at that particular place and that particular time? No, the Rashba is not excited about that. That Amasla is a Knapper Amasla. It's not Dvar Mani Karm Shemens. Why couldn't she have the gumption and the honesty to come straight forward with him and tell him exactly why she couldn't have relations at that point? Okay.
All right. Rabbi, where did the Rashba get that that was her amasla? The Gemara doesn't say what her amasla was.
I didn't see it. I mean, the Rambam says the following. Lo amarti l'cha t'me'ani el mipnei achoscha o imecha.
Right, the Rambam also seems to understand that that's the amasla that she gave.
Do you want a source for this? All right, so maybe we'll come back to that later, Adam. I don't have it at the tip of my tongue, and I want to just go on. Let's look at the Rambam now in Hilchos Ishus. If I can find it. I know I meant to take it out. Once again, I think I have to bother you. Oh, there it is. Okay.
So is the Rashba defining the quality of the Masli and Masla based on a couple factors of what's evident from the surroundings as well as what she could have said? I mean, what are the...
It seems that the circumstantial evidence has to really indicate that from the get-go we had doubts as to whether she was serious in what she said. Let me give you a classical example here. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishus Perek Tes Halacha Lamed Aleph. I'm just trying to collect for you a lot of different cases of Amasla so we can get a feel for how it operates. Amra Mekudesh Asani Uliachar Zman Omdo V'Kidsha Atzma Im Nosna Amasla Dveri Omra Kach V'Omra Mipnei Kach V'Kach Amarti B'Tchilu Shani Mekudeshes V'ra'inu B'Dvareha Mamish. How does the Rambam qualify and describe this Hamasla? Again, she said she was an Eishes Ish. And what are the words of the Rambam? V'ra'inu b'dvareha mamish. I would say that this Rambam is identical to the Rashba's Dvarim ani karim shem emes, or in the language of the Machna Fayim, Raglayim Ludov. The Magid Mishnah, please make note of this. In Perek Yud Beis Mehilchos Ishus Halacha Gimel, maybe Nisan, I could ask you to just open up the Magid Mishnah, so we just to save time, if I can ask you for that. The Magid Mishnah says the following: Perek Yud Beis Halacha Aleph. He quotes from Moshe Cohen, if you ever heard of him, the Ramak, who he very often quotes.
Halacha Beis or Halacha Gimel?
I think it's Halacha Aleph. I don't know what I said before. I stand corrected. So he says the following: Isha Sha'omra Ishus Isha Yisi Ugrushani Nemenes. In this case, she says that she accepted a get. Says Rav Moshe Kayan, she's only believed to say, I received a get, if she says Grushani Toch Kide Dibur of her original declaration, Ishus Isha Yisi. But Li Acher Kide Dibur Eina Nemenes, and listen to his language. Mishum shebama be'amiras eishes isha yisi huchzakoli eishes ish. What does Rav Moshe Cohen add here in this punchline? Huchzakol ke'eishes ish. Does anybody see the significance of those three words? What happens when a woman testifies that she was an eishes ish? She changes her chazok. Huchzakol ke'eishes ish. I'm not talking about a woman who whispers that, in her own, the privacy of her own Dalet Abbas. But once she comes forward and makes this as a statement publicly, then Beis Din will now assume that her chazaka changes. When she comes back and she says, well, I accepted a get, she's not believed. Why not? Ein darsh merva, pox mishnai, we need two eidim to testify that she received a get. She already has a cheskes eishes ish. The only time she's believed to say that she received a get is Toch Kedei Dibur. What does Toch Kedei Dibur give us? Anybody know what that's called in the Lashon of the Mishnah on Chaf Beis? In Ksuvas? Pesha Asar Hua Pesha Hid. When a woman gives us a full statement, and the upshot of that entire statement, if you take it as one entity, with one unit, is that she's Muteres, that's called a Pesha Asar Pesha Hid. But if she splits it into two, there's one Dibur, one Amira, in which she says, Eishes Isha Yisi. And then later on, Liachar Kedei Dibur, a few seconds passed, she says, well, I accepted a get. She's not believed. Why? Says Rav Moshe Cohen, because Kfar Huchzakah be Eishes Ish. Her Chazak has changed. And now she needs objective evidence of a Darish Be'erva to be Matir the Yisra Eishes Ish by testifying that she received a get. She's no longer an Emenes. Why do I call this Rav Moshe coming to your attention at this particular juncture? I think what we're saying here about a masla, where the Rambam and the Rashba are both emphasizing that when she says Eishes Isha Yisif, and now she says, "Oh, I only said it because Kofzo Alai Anoshim Shadim Hugonim." And the Rashba and the Rambam both say, in their own, each in their own language, that she's only believed because Yesh Mamash L'Dvareha, or Dvarim Anikarim Shem Emes. We need to change her Chazaka. Once she makes the statement Eishes Isha Yisi, she now has a Cheskes Eishes Ish. If she wants to remove that statement through the power of Amasla, that Amasla must have the status of Dvar Mani Kerm Shememes, Raglayim L'davar. It's got to be absolutely convincing. And therefore, if we don't have Dvar Mamuchachim Shememes, if we don't have Raglayim L'davar to support the Amasla, then the Amasla doesn't have the power to remove the Chazaka. And that's, I think, what the Machna Ephraim is telling us about the Raivid, and equating the Raivid in Perek Yud Ches with the Rambam in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud. In Perek Dalet Halacha Yud, the Rambam says that her claim was Tmeani, and then she says, "Well, why did I say I was Tmea? It's only because my husband wanted me to have relations at that particular point, and that's not something that I wanted to do, so therefore I said Tmeani." And if you take a look in the Magid Mishnah, in Halacha Yud, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud, he quotes the Gemara in Ksubis that we just saw on Daf Chav Beis. Again, the first case that we had was where she said Eishes Ish, and she says, "Well, the kafta alai, anoshim sheinam hagonim, gedol biyofi," and all that. Then the Magid Mishnah says, "Kfar nizbayer, sha'isha shehuksaka nida v'shcheinu se'a, baila lokan alem mishum nida, Umipnei came kol shehuchzaka." Emphasize those words of the Magid Mishnah. Kol shehuchzaka eina nemenes lomar tahorani afilu benosna amaslin dvareo kagon shomer lo lavashti begodim elu elikadei shlo tardi shlo tatrideini achshav shlo isi bibriyusi. I wasn't in good health, I wasn't in the mood, so therefore I wore these begodim levanim, but I never really meant it. Ain't an emenes. Why does she believe? Says the Magid Mishnah, "Kfar huchzaka nida v'shchein usel," means kol she huchzaka ain't an emenes. L'mad over domo l'mishi adanu she rasa. We know that she saw nidus the amro lo ra'isi, and now she denies it. Ain't an emenes. So wait a second. I don't understand. I'm just playing a game with you when I say I don't understand. Offhand, isn't the Magid Mishnah contradicting himself? The Magid Mishnah is coming to explain why the Rama believes the Amasla when she says that the reason why she was Tmeya, why she declared that she's a Tmeya, is because she didn't want to have relations with him. And then the Magid Mishnah says, "Kvar huchzaka nida," in the case of Mishchun Oseha, and she's not believed, "Well, I wore these begodim because I wasn't in good health. I wasn't in a mental, psychological, prepared mood." And she's not believed, because Huxaka benida. Amasla doesn't help. The answer is that there are two categories of Amasla. The Magid Mishnah, I think, is perfect support for our assumption that when the first statement, her declaration, creates a Chazaka, it changes her status, for her now to be Masalik, to be Oker and Mevatel that Chazaka, she needs what kind of an Amasla? An Amasla that's absolutely convincing. An Amasla that has Dvarim Hanikarim Shem Emes, or as we said, Yesh Dvarim Bego. Right? And therefore, we go back to the Machna Ephraim that we started with today, and the Machna Ephraim says that why is it that the Raivid believes her when she says that the only reason she said this, she's going that she was Nivel Abones, is because she wanted to get out of the marriage. Says the Machna Ephraim, what the Raivid means is, since we know this Ktata, therefore she has an Amasa which is supported by a Raglaim Lidah. Okay, Rabbi. What I want to do with you now is study Simon Vav Seif Ches. Yes, please.
But now, if we go back to the original Machlokes between the Magid Mishnah and the Ma'avid, as far as what the Amasla was when she says that I just wanted my husband to divorce me, are we now just basically saying that it is kind of a Balabhatasha Machlokes about what's considered a strong Amasla versus what's not?
Well, first of all, you have to say that in the Magid Mishnah's frame of reference, for sure you're 100% correct, right? What is the Magid Mishnah saying? That this is not a convincing Amasla. But wait a minute, we know that there's Ketata. We know that she wants to get out of this marriage. Why is it not a convincing Amasla? So that's number one. Once you shift over to the Beis Meir's approach, it is a Machlokas about weighing the value of the Amasla, but in an entirely different context. The context is to get and generate and achieve an Amasla that has Raglayim Ludov. And that's what we're going to have to do in every case of Amasla. We're going to have sugyas of Amasla until they're coming out of our ears, over and over. And in each case, I think the guideline or the standard by which we're going to have, the litmus test, if you will, by which we're going to have to judge the Amasla is, do we have Raglayim Ludov? Is there circumstantial evidence that convinces us that her original declaration was made for reason X, Y, and Z? The Rambam in this case says, no, we're not convinced. We're convinced in the case of a man who's being Tovea's wife to have relations in the presence of his family members. Then we're convinced that when she said Tmeani, she was only doing it to get rid of him. We are not convinced in the case of Ashes Cohen, who claims they're nasty because they're nasty is not going to achieve her goal. The Ravid is saying, but wait a minute, we already have a ketata between the husband and the wife. That gives this Amasla a reglayim ludov, which according to the Machnafayim is exactly equivalent, he makes that analogy, to the case of a woman who says tmeani because she doesn't have relations in that particular place. But if a woman says, look, I wasn't feeling well and I didn't want to have relations, and if I wore gadim levanim, that's not convincing. A woman wouldn't go that far as to publicly, you know, declare that she's a nid, you know, publicize her nidus if she just wasn't in the mood. The Rashba that we saw in Masechta Ksuvos was of the opinion that if a woman went a little bit too far in the case of Achoso and Ima, and she, instead of, why was she so afraid to tell him the truth? This is not proper. This is humiliating for her. Or, for example, in the Gemara in Kiddushin, when she says, well, kofzolai anoshim sheinam uganim, once again, the Rishonim are going to say that that's a very, very convincing. So we're going to always look for some sort of evidence support the Amasla. And the loveness of it is because the original declaration changes her chazak. And therefore, once she has a cheskas isur, we have to do whatever we have to do in order to achieve a siluk, an akira of that cheskas isur. Okay then? So again, this I think will serve as an introduction to the Sugi Mamasla. Hopefully, as we get into Eben Ezer, you know, we're going to have to constantly come back and judge when Amasla works and what constitutes an Amasla. But I did want to talk to you before we run out of time about the Psul Zona, which is a very important central feature here in Siman Vav. And we start with the Gemara in Yevamos. And we see a clear-cut machlokes between Tosis and the Rosh on the one hand, and the Rambam on the other hand, about the nature of a psul zona. There are many cases in which kuliyamalo pligi, there's no debate about it, and she became a zona. And that would be in cases like chayvi krisus or chayvi misus, because she had a nifsalo l'posula. But the real issue is going to be chayve lavin. So if we begin with the Gemara Yevamos on Samach Aleph, the Mishnah there records a number of different shitas in the Tanoim, and we're interested in the Chachamim. The Chachamim are of the opinion ein zona el giores, etc. V'nivelas be'ilas znus. Now, when you hear Bilas Nus, it sounds like that's an all-encompassing and very extensive category. But indeed, that seems to be the sheet of many other Tanoim, but not the Chacham's unique sheet. The Tosus points out that Michaive Lavin de Tafsi Be Kedushin Lo Avizono. That when he's talking, when the Chacham are talking about Nivola Bilas Nus, it's referring to Chaive Krisus, the Lo Tafsi Be Kedushin. But in the case of Chaive Lavin, there is no Zona. There's no Psul Zona. By the way, what would be, according to Tosafot, if you had a Chaive Lavin that Lo Tafsi Be Kedushin? It would seem that there would be a Zona, because he's saying that the reason the Chacham distinguishing Chayvei Krisus and above and going below, dipping into Chayvei Lavim, is because of Tfisus Kedushin.
It could be that a Giyaris is such a case. It could be that a Giyaris is a Chayvei Lav.
Why? Only under the din of Zona, but first you have to establish why she's a Zona. But what I had in mind is called Yevamal Ashuk, because we're going to see that in the Perek HaBol Yevimto that Rav Shita is that Ein Kedushin Tosim the Yevamal Ashuk, even though it's only Chayvei Lavin. That's the only case that's going to be very debatable as far as the Chacham Shita, the way Tosa understood it in terms of Zona. But I don't want to jump too far too fast. If you take a look in Yevamos on Daf Samaches, you get a whole different impression. Because here in Yevamos Daf Samaches, the Braisa lists all sorts of cases in which a woman becomes a Zona Lekohen. And on the list, there's a whole bunch of Chayvei Lavin. For example, Benteisha, Shonav Yom Echad, Ger, Amoni, Moavi, Mitzri, Adomi, Kusi, Nosin, Cholol, Mamzer, Shebo Al Kohenes, Levi of Yisraelis, Pasluah. So the simple reading of the text would indicate that even Chayvei Lavim engender a Psul Zona. And that's indeed how the Rambam paskins in Perek Yudches, Hilchos Isurei Bia, in the first three halachos, the Rambam says the following. It sounds like he's talking even about Chayvei Lavin. And he spells it out in Halacha Beis. Hanif Elis Li Echad Misurei Lavim Hashovim Bakol. The Rambam says, Harezu Zona. So if we take the Tosus on Daf Samach Aleph and we compare and contrast it with the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Yudches, Milchus Yisuri Bia, we have Machlokas here, La'alocha L'maisa, whether or not a Zona can be, a status of a Zona can be engendered by Chayvei, Be'ilah of Chayvei Lavin. The Tur tells us that his father held like Tosus. The tour here is in Simon Vav. The original tour is not broken up into Se'ifim, but here in this new printing, they break it up into Se'ifim. So it's Se'if Ches, which is the same as Se'if Ches in the Shulchan Aruch. Ezo Hizona, Zusha Nivolo Li Echad Min Harayos, Loshna Chayvi Mises Bez, Loshna Chayvi Krisus. Clearly excluding the case of Chayvei Lavin. And if you have any doubts about it, he spells it out at the end of this sif. He says, Habo al Chayvei Lavin lo asa zona. Came in the Tafsi Bay Kiddush. And then he's going to give the exception of Habo Yevama, because e nami lo Tafsi Bay Kiddush, even though she's Chayvei Lavin, but lo Tafsi Bay Kiddush. The Beis Yosef outlines three different shittas here in the Rishon. He says, "Beperek Habal Yevimto Tnan Chachomer Me'ein Zona Ela Giores Umeshukreres B'Shenivla Be'ilas Nus because of a rush Kigom Chayvei Krisus Dol Tafsi Be'i Kedushin Avol Chayvei Lavin Tafsi Be'i Kedush Lo Avi Zona." So that's against the Rambam Shita. Avol Rambam, skipping down a few lines, Kosav v'perek yudches milchus yisurei biya shanif eles li echam yisurei lavim hashov b'kol is asa zona. For Ravid Zal Hisigol, the cause of Shein Zon El Michaivi Krisus, Omigoy Vievit Shein Bem Kedushin. So the Ravid belongs to the camp of the Rosh, which is also the camp of Tosus. The Chayv Lav does not engender a Shein Zona. In other words, according to the understanding of the Beis Yosef, because we're going to see that the Bach has a whole different Havana here, what would Tosus the Rosh and the Ravid say about a woman who had Be'ilo with Chayvei Lavin, and now she wants to marry a Kohen? What would be the din? According to the Beis Yosef, in that Shita, she can marry a Kohen. No ifs, ands, or buts, no hesitations. On the other extreme, we have the Rambam Shita, who says that Chayvei Lavin, if it's Shom V'Kol, engenders a Shem Zona. And what we're going to see in the Bach, I may have mistakenly said it's in the Beis Yosef, it's in the Bach has a middle Shita. He has a reinterpretation of the Shita Sarosh. Even the Rosh would have to admit, because the Braisa says it explicitly on Daf Samaches Nivam, that Nivol Olachayve Lavim is Psula Lakuna, but not his own. Some sort of quasi state in the middle. Says the Bach that Afkimin is Malkus. What happens if a Kohen would have a relationship with a woman who had a relationship with Chayve Lavim? Malkus he won't get. Malkus he won't get because it's not Zona, technically, according to the Rosh. But at the same time, it's an Isur D'oraisa of Nesra L'Kuhuna. It's a middle Shita between the two extremes. Let's see how the Mechaber paskins in Shulchan Aruch. This is Simon Vav, of course, Se'if Ches. He says, Ezi Zona, and he goes through all the cases. And then he says, "I will nivelles li echad mi surei lavam ashovim bekol asharezu zona." So stimas loshen amachaber before he quotes the Yesh Omrim is like the Rambam. But then he writes the Yesh Omrim shabo al chayve esi al chayve lavim lo asa zona chutz mi abo al hayivam. Now, does the Mechaber, when he quotes the Yesh Omrim, give us any indication whatsoever that a Kohen cannot marry her if she had Bia Techai Te'lav? None whatsoever. If the Bach were formulating the Shulchan Aruch, if he was codifying Halacha, he would have added the following point, that even though Nehi, that she's not a Zona, and therefore Kohen has relations with, he's not Chayv Malkus, but nevertheless she's Nifsol Lakuna. Under this new category, which the Gemara derives from the Pasuk, that even if it's Chayvei Lavin de Tafsi Bei Kedushin, nevertheless Nifsa Lakuna. But the Mechaber, like his Beis Yosef, interprets the Rosh's Shita as denying any sort of Psul Lakuna whatsoever. And that's what we have. So again, if we were to summarize, we'd say the following. The Mechaber, based on his presentation in the Beis Yosef, only has two Shitos, which means either a Kohen can marry this woman who had Bia with Chayvei Lavin, or he can't, but there's no middle ground. And the Bach has this middle ground. But I'll tell you the truth, it's not just the Bach. It's also the Beis Shmuel, and it's also the Gaon. Both of them claim, in order to defend the Rosh against this kasha from a braisa that's explicitly against them, this is the Beit Shmuel of Sifkot and Tezayin, that there is a psul kahuna, there's an iser to kahuna, but it's not a zona. It's this middle stage. And I say this, there's something curious that's going on over here. The Bach doesn't understand. He asks this kasha, why is it that the Beis Yosef and later on in the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch makes this distinction between the first Shita and the second Shita, quoting the Rambam and then quoting the Rosh and the Yesh Omrim? Mein Afkimina. This is the Bach L'Shitaso. The whole mindset of the Bach is that the only difference between the Rosh and the Rambam, as far as Nivlo L'Chayvei Lavin, is Malkus, So we don't have malchus bisvanizer, and therefore the whole discussion is moot. It's irrelevant. But of course, if you have the Beis Yosef and the Mechaber, who understand in the Shitas HaRosh that there is no Isur Lakuna at all, and there's no indication whatsoever in the Mechaber that there is such an Isur, it's an all or nothing preposition. Either you accept the Rambam and she becomes a Zona, or you reject the Rambam and she's not Asur Lakuna at all, then clearly the Mechaber is justified in quoting these two shitas. So the Bach is really asking Akasha Lishitasa. Or for example, if you take a look at the Chelkas Mechokek Sifkat Yud, he writes Ein Nafkemina Lamaisa Bisman Azeh Kevin Delekem Malchus. Once again, the Chelkas Mechokek doesn't see any Nafkemina, and he thinks the Mechaber didn't have to waste his time here codifying two shitas. That's because he's assuming, like the Bach and the Beis Shmuel, that according to the Rosh, there is an Isur Lakuna, and the whole Nafkamina boils down to Malchus. Okay. What I'd like to point out is one or two other possibilities of an Nafkamina between the Rambam and the Rosh. The Gaon in Sif Katan Chav Gimel analyzes the following issue. When a woman has bia with chayvei lavim, what's the status of the bas that's born from that relationship, from chayvei lavim? We know that she's not a mamzeres because kedushin tosim chayvei lavim. Is she paguma lekohen? And the Gaon says that it all depends whether the mother becomes a zona. If this bia makes the mother into a zona, if not, say zona al yidei bia zu, then the child is paguma lekohuna. However, if the mother is not a zona, even though she's nifsala lekohuna, again under this separate category of nivala li osala lechayvei lavim, nevertheless the child is not pasul lekohuna. So now we have another nafkamina here between Tosis and the Rosh on the one hand and the Rambam on the other. What's the status of the Bas who's born out of a relationship between the mother and Chai Ve'lav, the father is Chai Ve'lav? Is the Bas Paguma Lekuhuna? According to the Gaon, since Tosis and the Rosh maintain that the mother is not a Zona, therefore the child is not Psula Lekuhuna.
Why should make a difference whether the mother is a Zayin or not? Stop, if the Zayin is brought to you, so is the kid Kosher Kerman? So yes, no, he's allowed to be.
What's the case?
The Zayin is brought to you, so stop the Zayin, well, normally so. Kid's fine.
Right.
That
since she became a Zona in this Bia, therefore the Bia itself engenders a Psulku. I don't know. I'd like you to analyze this Gaon. Take a look again. The Gaon is in Sif Katan Chav Gimel. Maybe you can open it now even if you have a minute and see if you could figure out how he knows such a thing.
Are there glasses? It's quite a long
one. It's a long piece. Alright, so we'll give you some homework. What I wanted to do to finish the shiur is take a look at the Mechaber in Siman Zayin. Now Siman Zayin, I don't know, for the Rabbanut doesn't seem to require Siman Zayin, but there is one part of Siman Zayin which I don't think we can skip because it's just the part and parcel of Siman Vav, and that is Sif Yudalet. What happens to the child of a relationship between a Kohen and Yevam Lashuk? In other words, what we have here is a case of Chai Ve'lavim. And the child that's born to Chai Ve'lavim, says the Mechaber, Ein Havlad Cholol. Now, that itself would be okay, because if we have this Gaon that we just saw before, that since the mother doesn't become a Zona, if the child is not Pasul Lakuna, So since we're dealing with Chayvei Lavim here, again, it's a little complicated because the Mechaber brings down the Rambam as the first Shita. But in any event, just for, you know, just for the fun of it, for argument's sake, let's assume, like the Rush, then this might make sense. That the Vlad is not Pasul Lekuna because the mother's not a Zona. But that's absolutely false, what I just told you. Because the next three words in the Mechaber is Aval Asa Zona. And the reason for that is, and the Mechaber doesn't have any ifs, ands, or buts, he doesn't quote any Yesh Omer, meaning even the Rush in Simon Vav would agree that in the case of Yvam Lashuk, as we saw before the tour, who says it, who's outspoken about it, the woman becomes, the Yvam Lashuk becomes what? Becomes a Zona. It's only Chai Ve'lav, and the answer is what? The Lotas Ve'kedushin, like Rav in Abal Yevimto. Now, if that be the case, then I don't understand what's going on here, because the Gaon is telling me that if the mother becomes a Zona through this Bia, then the child is Pasul Lekuhuna. Here's an explicit contradiction to the Gaon's principle. Because here the Mechaber Paskins that even though the mother becomes a Zona, because Lo Tafsvei Kedushin in this Yivam L'shuk, nevertheless, the Vlad is not considered a Chol. Maybe. That's an interesting concept. Let me try to pick up on what you said. What is the Mechaber's view on Akum Habal Bas Yisrael? What's the status of the Vlad in the case of an Akum Habal Bas Yisrael? Not Mamzerus, but Peguma Lekayim. This was in Siman Dalet Sif Hei. Open up to Siman Dalet Sif Hei. And there we'll see three different Shitas. Right, we have the Rambam Shita, that the child is Kshera Lekuhuna. The Bas is Kshera Lekuhuna. We have the other extreme, which is the Rush's view, that the child is Psula Lekuhuna. In the middle we have the Rif and the Ramban, who say the child is a Safek Pasul Lekuhuna. Now, the Mechaber seems to paskin like that middle Shita. And then Afkamina is going to be a Misseis Teitze. Let's say this Vlad marries a Kohen, which we would not allow L'Chatkira. But B'dievet, because Rov Shitas, if you remember the way we calculated it, after we threw in the Ramban and the Rif, the Ramban and the Rambam, you know, joining forces, we'd say Misseis Lo Teitze. The Vlad Kaviochel is Kosher L'Kuhun. So that was the Psak of the Mechaber. It means that what we're saying is the following. Even though, according to the Rambam Shita, who says that in general, a woman becomes a Zona, Lekuhuna, if she has beer with a guy. Right? Let's read the Rambam again. The Rambam at the beginning of Perek Yuches, Mehilchas Yisurei Bia, says the following. Mipi Hashmua, and the Rambam in Halacha Beis says the following: Hanivelis liechad mi isurei lavim, the ain tzarich lomar lemishi asur lo mishum erva olagoy the eved harezu zona. So it's very interesting. On the one hand, the Rambam says that this bia between an Akum and a Bas Yisrael is a bia that engenders a Shem Zona. But on the other hand, the Rambam paskins that the Vlad is kosher. Meaning that if you remember the Kal Vachomer in, where is it, Yivamas Mem Dalet, Memches, from Almana L'Kohen Gadol, we said that the Rambam sheet is that there are pirchas to that Kal Vachomer. And therefore the Vlad is kosher lakuna. And it's a paradox, because on the one hand, the bia itself makes this woman, the mother of the child, into a zona lekuhuna. But the child itself, or herself, is ksheira lekuhuna. It's a little bit similar, Yoshua, to your, you know, to your tchilas bia and sof bia kind of concept.
Is this not a guy with a... Who's a bia for
you? I'm saying, akum sheba bas Yisrael. So on the one hand, the Rambam says she becomes a zona. That's the Rambam Perek Yuches. On the other hand, the Rambam says that the Vlad is Ksheira Lekuhuna. So So therefore you see that the Rambam Shita is that the fact that this bia engenders the status of a zona does not make the vlad into a apostle of kahuna. Now let's fast forward now to Simon Zion in the case of Yevamah Lashuk. Paradoxically, the Mechaber paskins that if a Kohen has relations with the Yevamah Lashuk, the child is not a chol, even though the mother becomes a zona. Now what's going on over here? Because the Mechaber himself holds, like the Rambam Shita, that in Chayvei Lavim engender a Shem Zona. So if that be the case, then how could the Vlad be Kashal Lakuna? But the answer is that the Rambam himself holds in the case of Akum Abal Bas Yisrael, that even though that Bia engenders a Shem Zona, nevertheless the child is Kashal Lakuna. So you see that the Rambam doesn't embrace the shita that if the bia creates a shame zona, it's a fact that the child is posel lakuna. Call it tchilas bia sophia, whatever you want to call it, you know, just as a catchphrase. But wait a second. What about the Rosh Hashita? Did the Mechaber quote in Siman Vav the Rosh who says that in Chayvei Lavim there is no shame zona? Ah, but the Rosh would agree that in the case of Yevamah Lashuk, the mother becomes a zona through that bia of Yevamah Lashuk. And why? Because lo tafsi be kedushin. So how could the Mechaber now in Siman Zion allow himself the leisure or the license to be mati the vlad of Yevamah Lashuk, since the mother became a zona according to the Rosh? The other question. According to the Rosh Hashita, we would say the following, that a vlad of Chayvei Lavim under normal conditions is not pogum, is not posel lakuna, is not a cholo, because Chayvei Lavim don't engender a shame zone according to the Rosh. But in the case of Yevamah Lashuk, the Rosh would certainly say, logically, that the Vlad is posel lakuna because the Bia to the mother made her into a zona. So why doesn't the Mechaber add some sort of a proviso here, you know, that Yesh Lahachmir Lagabi the Vlad in Siman Zion?
He says the second Bia is going to make the Vlad instead of follow.
But why not the first?
Is that not?
Oh, so maybe I think what the Mechaber is doing here is he's offering the Rambam Shita that the Vlad of a Bia that creates a Shem Zona is not possible lakuna. In other words, since we accept the Rambam Shita, if the only thing is he should have said, okay, that I have to see if we can smooth out the glitches here. But what I'm suggesting is when the Mechaber in Siman Zion says that the Vlad is not a cholol, he's operating, I think, with the Rambam Shita about Akum v'Eved al Bas Yisra, where the Rambam says that the Vlad is Ksheru Lekuna. It means that first Bia, since we need that Bia to engender the Shem Zona, that Bia doesn't have the power within it, inherent in it, to create a Shem Chol Lekuna. Now, in the case of Chayvei Lavim, then Mimonafshach, the Vlad is going to be kosher. Why? Because if I hold like the Rosh Hashita, then the mother is not his owner. The Afilim Timtzalom, like the Rambam Shita, that the in Chayvei Lavim the mother is his owner, but nevertheless that bia itself does not engender a psul in the bas. But the problem is going to be the case of Yevamah Lashuk, because that's the case of Chayvei Lavim Lotav's condition where the mother becomes his owner. And therefore the issue as to whether or not the Vlad is kosher apostle should depend upon the Rambam versus the Rosh. Because the Rosh holds in Akma Vol Bas Yisrael, what's the status of the Vlad? The vod is pasul lakuna. Why? Because through that bia, the mother becomes a zona. Comes along the gra in bira gra chav zayin in siman vav, and he says that according to the Russian chayvin lavim, since the bia does not engender a shame zona, even though his shita in the rush is that the this woman who had bia with chayvin lavim is forevermore prohibited to a kohen. But since it's not under the shame zona, therefore the vlad is kasha lakuna. But the Gaon clearly understands the way we understand that according to the Rosh Shita, if that bia engenders the shame zona, then the vlad would be pasul lakuna. And then Afkamina is going to be yavam l'shuk. In the case of bia yavam l'shuk, the vlad, according to the Rosh, would be pasul lakuna. So I think what the Mechaber is doing is, he's going to rely on the Rambam Shita that a bia that engenders a shame zona does not pass on the vlad. Call it Gita Vyada. He doesn't accept Gita Vyada Ban Kachas. You don't have this simultaneity in which, since the bia engenders a shame zona, therefore the child is possible. Let's again look at the Mechaber one more time in Simon Zion. And he says, "Koin shabba al yivama lashuk v'nis abra bibir rishona ein hav," meaning she's not yet a zona. I mean, she is a zona, but through this bia, she became a zona. Ein havlad cholol, avlaso zona. And therefore, henceforth, any future bias with a zona obviously is going to engender cholos. But the question is here, what are we going to do with the Rosh Hashita? Meaning, the Mechaber should have at least given us some hint to the Rosh, as he did in Siman Vav, and the Rosh Hashita in Siman Beis, which the Mechaber accepts, at least L'chatchila, is that the Vlad of Akaba Bol Bas Yisrael is Pasul L'Kuhuna. Again, when I say L'chatchila, in Lotinase, right, in this case Lotinase, but Lotinase. Now, I'm going to say one more thing and then I'll let you go. The sheet of Shmuel in Abal Yevimto is that Kiddushin in the case of Yavam L'Shuk is a Safek Kiddushin. Whereas Rav says Lo Tafsava Kiddushin and it's totally meaningless, Shmuel holds it's a Safek Kiddushin. We have to analyze Shmuel Shita in and of itself. What does that mean? A suffix? Suffix if there is Tfisus Kedushin or not, she needs a get. So whereas Rav says, Ain Kedushin Tosin, the Yavamal is shook, Shmuel's of the opinion that she needs a get, mitzad suffix. Now, I'm not sure how the Mechaber paskins in the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Let's assume, for the moment, that he paskins like Shmuel, which means that Shmuel is choshesh. Maybe there is tfisas kedusha in the case of Yavam L'Shuk, and that's why Shmuel requires a get. So if that be the case, then a relationship of Yavam L'Shuk does not engender a shame zona. So is it possible, this is what I wanted to throw out the possibility, that the reason why the Mechaber says that the Vlad of Yavam L'Shuk is not a cholol, is kosher lakuna, is because the mechaber passes like Shmuel, who requires a get in the case of Yevamah Lashuk, who had marriage to someone else. And obviously the premise here is that if she needs a get, there is Tfisas Kedushin. And it's only Chayv Elavim. So it's only Chayv Elavim with Tfisas Kedushin according to Shmuel, and the proof of the pudding that Shmuel requires a get, then Lo Asah Zona, according to the Rosh. Meaning, can I suggest the following mahalach in the Mechaber in Simon Zayin? Mimanafshach the Vlad is kosher lakuna. If I hold like the Rambam Shita, so the Rambam holds that the Bir Rishona doesn't engender a psul, and that we saw in which Rambam Akuma Balbas Yisrael is the Vlad is kosher. And Afilim Tibtsalom Velachatchila, we pass like the Rosh, and therefore Loti Nase. Because the Bir Rishona doesn't gender Vladu, doesn't gender a Pgam Kuna. But in the case of Yevamah Lashuk, so as we said, according to the Rambam, there's no issue. She's certainly a Zona, no less than Akiva Bal Bas Yisrael, but the Vlad is Kosh. Ella, what are you going to tell me? The Mechaber should have been Choshesh for the Shittas HaRosh, Lo Tinase. Yeah, but the Mechaber paskins like Shmuel. And Shmuel holds there is Tvisas Kedushin. Oh, I was waiting for that. But what's the answer? It's a Sfek Sveka. Can we construct here a Sfek Sveka? With this, I want to end the shiur. Here's food for thought. When the Mechaber and Simon Vav paskins that the child of the Vlad of Yevamah Lashuk is Kasha Laguna, can we be Mati the Vlad Midin Sfek Sveka? What's the Sfek Sveka? In Timtzalom, the halacha is like the Rambam. The Rambam says that Bir Rishona never engenders a psul in the Vlad. Haraya, Akiva Bal Bas Yisrael Asah Zona, yet the Vlad is kosher lakuna. He doesn't accept the Kal V'chomer of Almana Lekoyim God. Ella, what are you going to tell me? In Timtzalom, we pass like the Rosh. Yeah, but even if we pass like the Rosh, but there's a possibility that there is Tfisas Kedushin in the case of Yevamah Lashuk, because Shmuel requires the get. And if that be the case, then the mother doesn't become a zona, because chayvei lavim according to the Rosh, and in chayvei lavim there's no shame zona. Elohim, you tell me there's no tefisas kedushin. Maybe there is tefisas kedushin. So therefore, the modeshof, the Rosh is going to allow this woman to marry a kohen, the daughter of this relationship of Yevamah Lashuk. The only thing. The only reason why, I think it's a great mahalach, but honesty is the best policy, I guess, you know. I have to be honest with you that the whole mahalach is based on one premise, that the Mechaber paskin is like Shmuel. Now, it's true that the Mechaber does paskin in Hilchas Yivum, that in Yevamah Lashuk she needs a get. If she's Mekabel Kedushin, she needs a get. But that's not because of Shmuel. That's only a get lechumrah. And of course, since you're very much involved in Siman Vav, you know what I mean by a get l'chumra. A get l'chumra never even passes a woman l'kahuna. And if we ever get to discuss civil marriage, well, this is a very important point. Let's say a woman was married civilly, and then the Beis Din decided she wants to marry Ploni Almoni, let's require a get. So if you look through the Tshuvas, Rav Moshe Feinstein, everything else. So the answer is, that's only a get l'chumra. A get l'chumra does not pass a l'kahuna. So when the Mechaber paskins like in the case of Yevamah Lashuk, that she needs a get from this second Mekadesh, when I say the second, I mean as opposed to the Yavam himself, that's only L'chumra. Because Mi'ikar HaDin, we pass like Rav de Lo Tafsi Bei Kedushin. Now if that be the case, if Mi'ikar HaDin Lo Tafsi Bei Kedushin, then according to the Rosh, what's the status of the Yavamah? She's a Zona. And the Mela, if she's a Zona, then the Vlad is Pasul Lekuna. So Nehi, that there's one suffering, because maybe the Allah is like the Rambam, that Bir Rishona doesn't engender a Pasul Lekuna in the Vlad. But the Mechaber should have said, L'chatchil lo tinase, just like he said in the Vlad of an Akma Bal Basjo, like the Rosh. Ella, what are you going to tell me? That here there is Tfisas Kedushin, and the Raya is that the Mechaber requires a get. No, the Mechaber only requires a get L'chumra. But Mi'ikar HaDin, we pass him like Rav, that Yevamah Lashuk is Lo Tafsi Bei Kedushin, and therefore the mother becomes a Zona, and the Vlad becomes a Vlad, a Pasul Lekuna. So I'm still stuck. We'll see if we can. Do you have a solution to it?
So why can't you say Poshup Shah? The Shulchan Aruch is passing the Rambam. Finished. Early on, he brought Stam Yeshivim. He knows the day after the Shulchan Aruch, when he brings the Stam Yeshivim, he really holds like the Stam and just brings in the Yeshivim as a Chumah. That was mentioned early on in Simon Vol, Simon Talib.
No, but my question to Yoshi was a different question. I'm turning the clock back to Simon Beis. Yeah. In Simon Beis, the Rosh was not being quoted as a Chumrah, as you know, Yesh Omer, you should know for your, you know, to broaden your intellectual horizons and say there is a Shitas Rosh. There, the Mechaber passes halacha l'maisa, so that the Vlad of an Akim Abal passes, shows not allowed to marry a Kohen.
The Rama passes.
I'm saying, I meant to say the Mechaber. What did I say? I said the Rambam? No, I meant to say the Mechaber. I'm sorry. Still, let me say it again. One more time. The Shulchan Aruch says, Halacha L'maisa, that if you are a Kohen and you want to marry the Bas, who is born of a guy, of a relation between a guy and a Jewish woman, you can't marry her. So you see that the Mechaber LaHalacha L'chatchila accepts the Rosh.
That's because of the Kalachim of Avon Mechon Godot.
I'm just saying that when we apply that logic to the case of Yevamah Lashuk and we want to know that the Vlad is Kosher LeKahuna, you can't just simply quote the Rama. That's not going to help you. Because as we saw in the Gaon is saying that according to the Russian Shita, well, just one second. One second, maybe we could. Can we make some sort of combination here? Let me just see. The case of Akuma Bobas Yisrael. Just one second. I had a thought that flashed through my mind as we were speaking, but it went so fast I couldn't catch it. One second. I don't want to keep you too long, but just give me one more minute and I'll let you go. Just that.
I had an einfall. One second. If the chatchila we pass.
I'm missing one piece of the puzzle. Yeah, Adam, you want to say?
I don't know. Just because it's your permission to speak freely.
Yeah.
But I thought you could find a hector in Yevamah in the Beis Shmuel Sifkat Yitkes and Simon Vav.
Yeah. What does he say?
The Beis Shmuel. I wanted to compare Yevamah to Anida. The Isser in Yevamah is not in the Gufa Isha. The Isser is in the fact that right now she's Yevamah.
Right.
But the Beis Shmuel says, "Abba gabe es nidasa asura." The Rambam afilu chupa oisir. Kamasha katsa perik yodelvus iches. Mikol makom isha zu ein asura viyesh takana liyisura. There's also a takana by Yevam. So therefore, all the Yevam has to do chalitza, and then this woman would be mutter to him.
So I don't know. I'd have to see the Beis Shmuel inside. I would have given a simple answer. I don't know why he doesn't give a simple answer that in nida this tefisa's kedusha. I mean, you could tell me that. What?
You're speaking the Rambam. The Rambam is the Kedushin.
No, you're talking about Chuppah. I'm talking about Kedushin. Let's not confuse the two. Mm-hmm. The Rambam has a very unique sheet in Chuppah's Nida, but that has nothing to do with Kedushin. Kuliyamal plea that Kedushin is Tophis in the Nida. Chas v'shol. Don't let such a thought cross your mind.
No, okay. Right.
But I'm just saying that if everything depends upon Tophis' Kedushin, I don't know why the Beis Shmuel has to sweat it out over here and come up with Yesh Takana Lisura. Why didn't he just say Tofsi Be Kedushin? That would have been the simple way.
If she does Khalid, so the Yalan does Khalid, so then she's not an Arab. Right, but I'm saying
that
according to the Rambam,
again, Shomer's Yavam. I'm trying to figure out Shomer's Yavam Shizinsa. Let's say the Vlad should be a. So the she herself is a suffix zone. Correct? According to Shmuel, she would be a suffix zone. But the question is, does the Mechaber passing like Rav or Shmuel? You see, if the Rambam passes like Shmuel, then I think we could explain the Mechaber. Why? Because since Shmuel is not convinced that Lo Tafsi Bei Kiddushin, that creates one suffix as to whether or not she, the mother, is a Zona. And Afilim Timsalomer, she is a Zona, then you have the Rambam Shita, that the child doesn't become Pogum Lakuna Bibirishon. So again, I go back to what I said before, but again, in all honesty, I don't think this is Emeslan Mito, because I'm assuming that the Mechaber passes like Shmuel. And that's very questionable. So we'll research that, believe it. But just I want you to hear the lumpness of it, you know, because maybe it is right. I don't know. If we assume that the Mechaber accepts the sheet of Shmuel, and listen carefully, which means that a Yevama L'shuksha Zinsa, now forget about Yevama L'shuksha Zinsa, Yevama L'shuksha Kibla Kiddusha Miacher, needs a get, Mitzad Ikar Adin, Mitzad Sofik, that's the sheet of Shmuel. Then I understand this Rambam, why the Vlad, in the case of Shomeris Yevam Shizinsa, is Kasha L'kum. Because now we have two sveikas. Number one, according to the Rush, we don't know whether the mother became a Zona. Because if there is Tfisus Kedushin, then the mother did not become a Zona. It's only Chayve Lavin. And then Afilu and Tim Tzalomer, that the mother became a Zona. We have the Rambam Shita, that the Vlad is Kasha Lakuna. Because from Birishona, you can't be. Okay, so that I want to just leave you with that, you know, food for thought. The question is, let's research the Gemara Nabal Yevimto the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, and let's see how the Mechaber paskins in that Machlokas.
Okay? Yourself.
Let's see. No, I'm sure the Mechaber requires a get in this case. Again, we're talking about Shom, but I'm not sure if it's a get Lechumra or it's because he accepts the Shita of Shmuel. Let's just take a look. Okay. Do we have a Gemara Yevamos here? Who wants to be part of this race? And we'll figure out where who can come up with the Mechaber, you know. No, but in the Rambam about the Vlad, he says Lo Tinase. I mean, he's very serious about that.
By Akum. Right, because the Rambam's Pircha on the Kabbalah Chumar is weak. I give you a Pircha on the Kabbalah Chumar is more than the Gemara.
That's
the Rambam. So you serve just like the Rambam.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can find this. I found the Beis Shmuel. Take a look at him in Beis Shmuel in our Siman Vav Chaf Aleph. He writes, "The Afal gav the kaimel the tzricha get." So why is she a zona? Hainu lechumra bi'alma, aval ein kiddushin tofsim. Simon Vav Beishmuel Chaf Alf. So he's writing that it's only a Chumra. Question is, he quotes the Marshal. How does he know this? You know what I mean? I'd like to be convinced, because if that be the case, then why is the Mechaber in Simon Zion being matir the Vlad of a Yevama L'shuk? At least L'chatchil should be also like Akum Abba Bas Yisrael.
Whoa,
some of us
say this. You say the first one,
what did he say? I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I'm trying to work through the space.
The Shulchan Aruch is not matching the Chachila.
in Sim Zayin.
Why? He says Avlad Eino Chol.
But yeah,
that's what you want to say.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not rejecting what you're saying. I'd be a lot more comfortable if you found somebody who says that. I didn't think that that was the straightforward reading of the Mechaber. Let's see if anybody makes that comment here.
7 minutes
or 4 minutes? What is the... here's a Gra. There's a Gra in this. Let's see what the Gra has to say.
It's about 5 minutes. Okay, so 4 minutes.
The Gra...
So it's
going to
take for every hour. It's
going to
take 4 hours.
Maybe the Gaon is bothered by our question. He says, "Kaman dasa zona." Since in the case of Yevam Lashuk, the mother is a zona, is therefore Havlad Pogam Lakuna. I think he's asking our question. Does it give an answer? The chembi of Vamal Shuk, al the ikar dini of Vamal Shuk nasa zona, and can gang it so. Whoa. This is like the longest beer agra I've seen.
We're speaking on the second chemical, which is speaking about this, right?
Right, no, but then he compares it to Yevam Lashuk. You saw that?
So I don't know what it is.
Ooh, look at that, how the gun. If you see later on in the Gaon, again, I didn't go through this Gaon well, but he compares it to Akum Vyevet Abol Basisol Vlad Kosher. You see that? He says, Umash by the Kosher Lagamre. Then he says, the riff is Nistatik Vizis. He's giving you a survey of all the Shitas about the Vlad of an Evet Abol Basisol, as far as Kuhun is concerned. The Gaon says, after Mokum to Lotafsi Kedushin, Venase Zona, for example, let's say Yevam Lashuk, Havlad Koshin, Veleslan Akal Vachomer, Vichol Asugis de Pasli Havlad, Svirli de Nochri Vevida Bol Basisol Havlad Pogum Lakuna. But we don't pasca like that. I'm not Lokaimalin Kay, we pasca like the Ramah. Do you understand what he's doing, the Gaon? The Gaon is telling you that the reason why the Mechaber, in the case of Yevam Lashuk, is being Machshir the Vlad, is because we paskin that the Vlad of an Akum Abol Bas Yisrael is Kosher Lakuna, meaning the Rambam Shita. He's making that analogy. See, take a look inside, see the text. The only thing that bothers me is, why isn't he Machmir L'Chatchil like he is by the Vlad of an Akum? Avoladina Ika Kmosh Kosova Rosh Da Vlad Posel Lakuhuna. I'm skipping a few lines.
No. You're saying
it's because of Dochuk Besugya. So therefore I guess the Mechaber is Machmir L'Chatchila, but what's the Gaon gonna do with this Mechaber by Yevam Lashuk?
Same thing, it's here, it's didn't stop.
Very tricky.